From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
Welcome to Issues in the News. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard, and joining me on the show this week are Linda Feldman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and Hillary Krieger, Enterprise Editor for CNN Politics Digital. And here are the issues, or I should say, the issue, singular. The debates are over and early voting has begun in the tumultuous presidential race. Hillary Clinton has a lead over Donald Trump, but the contest is not over yet. But it has calmed down in the closing weeks of the campaign. Well, there's a lot to talk about in this race just in the last week. And Hillary, start with this. Why has the race calmed down?
Well, I think certainly Democrats and Hillary Clinton supporters would say that it's because she's run away with it and that there doesn't seem to be a viable path for Trump, that his both the controversies, the things that have lost him support with crucial voting groups like suburban women, even his numbers among white voters overall are less than Mitt Romney's were at this point, mean that both isn't winning and sort of getting the popular momentum he needs, but also that the groundwork, the types of infrastructure, then data organization and things that really can make big difference in these final days that hasn't been laid. So there, he doesn't have a lot to work on. And meanwhile, you've seen Republicans worried that he's going to drag down their prospects of being in the, you know, winning their seats in the Congress, really focusing much more on securing the Senate, on boosting the House, and, you know, looking away from the presidential race.
The Nate Silver, who you're probably familiar with, Linda, not known around the world, but he's a sort of a computer geek who puts all the polls together in a pretty convincing way, I think. And he says Donald Trump has a 19% chance of winning this race. That's not much. And yet Donald Trump is campaigning furiously now. Well, as Hillary was suggesting, Hillary Clinton has somewhat relaxed.
Yes. So we're in an interesting moment in this race when, by all appearances, Hillary Clinton is going to win. But 19% chance is not nothing. And you have to remember the X factor of this election, which is that the Republican nominee is Donald Trump, and he has defied expectations every step of the way. Now, that doesn't mean that he will do that again and actually win the presidency, but I was just in Florida for a week and was hearing constantly about these hidden Trump voters, and even Democrats were agreeing with this.
What do you mean by hidden?
Hidden Trump voters are people who secretly support Donald Trump and are not willing to tell a pollster that. Which makes you wonder, if you're voting for somebody who's that embarrassing, why are you voting for them?
Well, there's some suspicion that these people won't vote.
Right. But, I mean, it's highly, highly unlikely that there's enough of such voters to actually turn the election in a crucial battleground state like Florida. But we can't dismiss it altogether. And what I heard from both candidates, I saw Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Tim Kaine perform in Florida. And what you heard from all three of them was, don't believe the polls. So they're saying that for different reasons. Hillary is saying that because she's worried about complacency. Donald Trump is saying that because he says the polls are quote-unquote rigged. You know, the mainstream media has rigged this, and he's worried that his people will get discouraged and won't vote. And, of course, the people who are showing up at Trump rallies are going to vote. But there are the leaners who are sitting at home watching all this, not really happy with either choice, but maybe leaning toward Trump. Maybe they'll vote, maybe they won't. And he really needs them to get out. And if there's enough of these soft leaners who go toward him, then maybe he can turn Florida. But again, a lot of battleground states.
Right.
Very hard for him to produce that effect in all of them.
Well, Florida is certainly a state that he would have to win.
Yes.
I know the simplest formula for Trump winning, very hard to do, but what it consists of winning all the states that Mitt Romney won against Barack Obama in 2012, and then winning Ohio, which is a state Trump may win. And then there's Florida, which is a lot harder. And then there's Pennsylvania, which is practically impossible. So there's still a very tough road for Donald Trump. You know, Trump, Hillary, has had these claims about the election being rigged. Certainly the mainstream media is not kind to Donald Trump. It seems to me it's very hard to rig the polls. But there are really two sets of polls, as there were in 2012. One set, the majority set, are these big polls. You know, newspapers and TV networks take them every week, and they do show Hillary Clinton with, what, a 5, 6, 7 point lead. Hard to overcome that in the last few days of the campaign. But then they're tracking polls, which are tracked, you know, over 5 or 6 or 7 days, that show the race much closer. There were such polls in 2012 that showed Mitt Romney much closer, but it turned out he lost by, what, 3 or 4 points. So what about the polls? I mean, rigged? I really don't think so, but there are sort of two sets of polls.
First of all, the use of rigged is thrown around so cavalierly. Sure, the media might be biased. Does that mean that there's an organized conspiracy, that there are people tinkering with results? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about polls of popular opinion. We're not talking about the actual vote. I mean, the idea that you might have some misinformation out there, and I would suggest that you've seen that at least as much on the Trump side as you have on the Democratic side, is one thing in terms of how voters respond to that and what the perception is of the race. That's entirely different from the actual voting mechanism for when people actually are going to cast ballots, and the concept that somehow, even if there is bias or false information, that that equates with stealing an election, or that the fundamental voting process is somehow not safe and rigorous and accurate. They're totally different concepts. The idea that the polls, in terms of what we're talking about, registering how people are viewing the candidates. First of all, it's important to remember that polls tell you what people think that day. They're not predictive. They don't tell you what's going to happen in 2 weeks. The trending polls give you a better sense of where people are moving and give you a sense of where things are going. But this is just how people are responding when they're getting the calls. And, you know, well, as it comes down to it, the race is, you know, the polls show people tightening and things like that happening. I think that that's expected. I think the big problem with the polls, though, beyond whatever the motives of the media companies might be, is that we just don't have a great sense of whether the polls are accurately capturing the public. There's one question about people who aren't being honest with pollsters, but I think there's a bigger question even of, are the pollsters able to reach the people who are going to vote? Trump has attracted all these people that you haven't traditionally seen come out necessarily. The way pollsters tend to work is by looking at patterns and previous votes and knowing who to track in terms of who's shown up before. So there's a question about whether they're accurately getting his group of people. Then there's a question of how they reach people. And as people don't have landlines and as people don't answer their phones, it's a real...
Or when they do, they tell pollsters, no, I'm not going to answer your questions.
Exactly. It's a huge problem to feel that you're really getting accurate samples. So I think in that sense, the polls are, you know, one interesting data point, and we don't have a lot of data points, so we like to look at them, but we don't know that they're capturing everything that's happening. But there are other indicators that Trump isn't in a great position. One is, again, the lack of money, both that he's invested and the fact that other people are not pouring money into him. That shows a lack of confidence. The fact that Republican leaders are breaking with him means that they are voting machines. They have infrastructure that those groups aren't probably going to be turning out and helping him. You just have lots of signs like that, even though I do think we need to have a lot of skepticism about polls because, you know, they have certainly proved to be wrong before.
You know, Donald Trump is focusing on issues. And I say that because he hasn't always done that in this campaign. One of the, my own theory about Trump is he does better when he talks about issues, things like the economy, and he gave speech on urban renewal. But when he talks about himself, which he has done a lot in this campaign, it doesn't help him. But anyway, Linda, one of the issues late in the campaign is WikiLeaks and all these emails that have been stolen, captured, hacked, whatever. The Russians are blamed, but I'll get to that in a minute. And one of the issues is the Clinton Foundation that has become an issue, particularly because the latest revelations are that the Clinton Foundation, which is a charity of sorts, has, it turns out that one of the things that some people who gave money to the Clinton Foundation were urged to do, and that is to hire former President Bill Clinton for very expensive speeches. It's awfully late in the campaign for an issue like this to come along. Does it have legs?
It does. And I think if Hillary Clinton is elected president, we will see from day one, and already Republican members of Congress have promised this, we will see investigations. From day one of her administration, she will be under investigation. Mm-hmm. And I think the allegations are serious. And if, you know, the Russians are accused of being behind the hacking of the mm-hmm. emails, and we don't know if this is government, if this is just Russian hackers mm-hmm. on their own, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get back to that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I wonder about the timing, because mm-hmm. I think at this late stage, people's impressions are pretty mm-hmm. baked in, mm-hmm. and it may be too late for this big Clinton mm-hmm. Inc. proposition to really swing the election mm-hmm. dramatically toward Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I think if this had come out much earlier, I think you would have seen a greater impact in the mm-hmm. primaries even. I mean, maybe this would have been the difference between Vice President Joe Biden getting in and not getting in, if he had known that she would enter the presidency this damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And as for Donald Trump, I think he could be using this actually more than he is. I mm-hmm. mean, he has this habit of kind of free associating on the stump and not really getting to the point. But this, I think, is a very serious mm-hmm. issue. It raises serious ethical questions about the Clintons. I mean, you saw this. The emails are fascinating. You see Chelsea Clinton, their daughter, pushing back and having conflicts with Bill Clinton's mm-hmm. Top personal aide. This blending of the charitable and the for-profit aspects of the Clintons. So it's a terrible way to start a presidency, mm-hmm. but it looks like it's heading that way.
You know, it is very interesting, Hillary, that it was Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of Bill and Hillary Clinton, who brought in this law firm to do an audit of the Clinton Foundation, and it found some problems. What do you make of this issue?
I agree that it's very serious and it's very damaging. And, you know, when you look at all of the many reasons that Trump has been wounded and isn't performing well, one thing that you haven't seen is Clinton really surging. What you've mm-hmm. seen mostly is Republicans going back and forth about whether they can actually vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton has not been able to, you know, improve her position mm-hmm. commensurate with all the different challenges on mm-hmm. the other side. And these WikiLeaks, and those come after there were DNC emails hacked and were let, you know, put out. And, you know, just all sorts of issues through different legal suits. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've had a steady drip of these types of, you know, problems around the Clintons, their family, their foundation being exposed. And, you know, I think that's really hurt her. And I think there are people who feel not comfortable having Trump in the White House, but still don't trust mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton. It's still an issue he wins on, is trust.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll have more in a minute. First, a reminder, you're listening to Issues in the News, coming to you on the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your moderator, Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Joining me today are Hillary Krieger of CNN Politics Digital and Linda Feldman of the Christian Science Monitor. And this is a reminder that you can listen to Issues online as a podcast, if you so desire. The program is also available for free download on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com. Well, Linda, let's go back to the Russian question. What the Clinton people say, and others do too, that Vladimir Putin wants to have an impact on the American election, and he is leaking all these emails that have been hacked in order to help Donald Trump. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, the emails have been hacked and are coming out. No question about that part.
Sure. So the Russian role in all of this is fascinating. I'm not certain that it's Vladimir Putin himself wanting Donald Trump to be president. There's an argument to be made that he would prefer Trump over Hillary Clinton. We know that the Russians and Putin himself do not like Hillary Clinton at all
mm-hmm.
from her days as Secretary of State. Trump is an unknown. He's very green, to put it mm-hmm. kindly, on the international stage in terms of foreign policy and national security. So there may be a sense among the Russians that they can play him.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, once played, Trump would get very angry and I think could learn quickly mm-hmm. and could actually be a savvy operator on the world stage. The greater possibility is that the Russians are just messing with us and messing with our democracy and the confidence that American voters have in the vote. America has spent decades preaching free and fair elections around the world, and here we are having a presidential election, and there are serious questions, especially among Trump supporters, that this will be a fair election, partly fanned, of course, by Donald Trump himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Russians, whoever's doing this among the Russians, and mm-hmm. it's reported, according to U.S. National Security Services, this is goes up to Russian intelligence services. It isn't probably just some 400-pound hacker sitting in his basement, his parents' basement in Moscow, or more likely his parents' apartment in Moscow. Yeah, this is just, I think, all about sowing uncertainty among American voters.
Well, I suppose it has. Of course, Trump says, I don't even know Vladimir Putin. I've never met him, and so on. But he has, unusual for an American politician, which Trump is now, to have said nice things about Vladimir Putin. Hillary?
And not just nice things. He has refused to make any criticism of things that are just bedrock American policies. You know, I think there was very strong bipartisan condemnation of Russia meddling in Ukraine and the...
Yeah, meddling. Smiling. Yes, yeah.
Peeling off Crimea. The U.S. intelligence agencies have said that they believe that Russia is behind the hacks. And, you know, he says, well, it could be China or the 400-pound guy on the couch. It's puzzling because they're... You know, not only is he seeing some of the good side of Vladimir Putin, who seems to maybe have a style of leadership that he admires or would like to in some ways
Well, he has
model.
said something that has obviously irritated President Obama, and that is that Vladimir Putin is a stronger leader than President Obama. And I was surprised to see what I think President Obama sort of take the bait on this, and at a press conference with the prime minister of Italy to really respond to Trump.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting to see how Obama has just plunged right in to the election. He has really broken with precedent, well, you know, not just when he was by the Italian prime minister, but when he was abroad on more than one occasion, talking about American politics, being critical of Donald Trump. I think on the one hand, Obama sees an actual threat to the American democracy. And, you know, for instance, the idea that you'd have somebody in the White House who doesn't see Russia as a danger and isn't looking at the world that way. On the other hand, I think that Obama loves campaigning. I think that's the part of politics that really speaks to him. That's when he was at his best as a politician. And I think he sees this as a last chance to sort of roll up his sleeves. He also has, you know, a lot invested in Hillary Clinton taking over. A lot of what he's accomplished has been through executive action because of gridlock with Congress. A lot of his foreign policy is based on, you know, decisions that could be changed. So he has a lot personally at stake in seeing a successor that will safeguard his legacy.
I agree. That's certainly important. Let's go back and see if you agree with this. As some people have said, I'm not making this up. This is not my idea. But October 7th, something really important happened, Linda. And that was the day this video was released of Donald Trump talking about women and how if you're a celebrity, you can basically molest them and you can kiss them whether they want you to or not, and other things. And then you had on October 19th, the third of the three debates, where I think the view of it was absent a great breakthrough by Donald Trump. Hillary didn't clinch it, but it would be very, very hard for Donald Trump to change things. And it's after October 19th that the things have calmed down.
Exactly. Yes, we're in the wind down period, and we're in sort of a strange place because it does appear that Hillary Clinton is going to win, but we don't know that, so we can't plan on that. My editors keep wanting me to plan for the post-election coverage, but as I was saying to Hillary before we went on the air, we don't know who's going to control the Senate.
Yeah,
that's a really key element of this contest now, and you're seeing a lot of focus now on the races down ballot. The House will remain Republican, so we know we're headed for four more years of divided government and probably gridlock. But the Senate is right on the knife's edge, and I would say, if I had to bet, I would say that it would go to the Democrats by the slimmest of margins.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So the question then is, what will the next 4 years look like? What kind of government will we have? What can be done? Hillary Clinton has made clear that she plans to build on Barack Obama's legacy in his use of executive action and keep going on that. She says she'll go further on immigration than Obama did. And Obama's legal advisors scrubbed the books multiple times to push the envelope as far as they could. And now Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton is going to push it even farther. Mm-hmm. So we'll see a great upset, great partisan upset mm-hmm. on that. And then in 2 years, we'll have a midterm election mm-hmm. and the Senate will go swinging wildly back mm-hmm. to the Republicans.
You know, Hillary, Linda explained it pretty well. What Hillary Clinton has talked about and the kind of presidency she'd have, a Donald Trump presidency, we're not so sure of. I mean, we know what he thinks about immigration and we know what he thinks about trade treaties. After that, it's I'm not sure what he would do. I mean, he has some plans he's put out, but he hasn't talked about them much. He's got an economic plan. He talked about urban renewal the other days. There's some real questions there.
Absolutely. He said he would rely a lot on his advisors, mm-hmm. But we don't really know exactly who those people would be. And we also don't know what he would do even in the places where he has spelled out a policy. So, mm-hmm. for instance, in terms of immigration, he's talked about mm-hmm. building a wall between the U.S. Mm-hmm. and Mexico, about deporting potentially millions of undocumented workers. Some things that take mm-hmm. huge amount of resources, investment from Congress, things that some elements in the society think might go against American mm-hmm. values. So he has a real uphill climb with those. Mm-hmm. And he's even admitted, mm-hmm. this is my opening bargaining position, mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, of course, we'll see kind of how it plays mm-hmm. out. So even on things where he has been definitive, mm-hmm. we have a lot of question marks. Mm-hmm.
We do, no question about that. Well, let's wind up here with something that you raised, and you had a phrase you used, Linda, and that is the X factor. And I think there's more of an X factor in this race than I think the media really understands. 19% is a good chance of winning for Donald Trump is, as you said, it's not nothing. And there have been comebacks in the past, mm-hmm. Remarkable ones, certainly Hubert Humphrey, in 1968 against Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford against Jimmy Carter in 1976. Now, both of them had gained, 5 or 6 or 7 points in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they lost. Had the famous case of Harry Truman mm-hmm. in 1948, the incumbent president who had a great finishing kick in his campaign, and he did win. I guess my question is, what do we make about all this? I mean, Trump is campaigning furiously. Mm-hmm. He seems to have alienated certain groups, Hispanics for one, and a lot of women as well. What about it?
So, well, I think what we're seeing with this furious finish by Donald Trump, I think he doesn't think he's going to win. I think we're seeing that in his posture, even an occasional hint of wistfulness on the stump, which is at times hard to imagine from Donald Trump. But we're hearing all kinds of stories and reporting about his post-election plans. So when you mentioned the October 19th debate, mm-hmm. the last debate, I thought you were going to mention his unwillingness to say that he would accept the result.
Right.
And that, I think he was toying with us. I think it was his, similar to his unwillingness to sign a pledge to back the mm-hmm. Republican
right.
nominee. But it's possible that he'll lose and will concede, and then the next day he'll say, "Well, it really was rigged."
Well, it's not really his choice whether to
exactly.
Whether to
so we,
accept
I think,
the outcome.
I think
or not.
Right. Are we? I think we should all pray for this not to be close. Elections are messy. There mm-hmm. are always, mm-hmm. missing ballots, mm-hmm. and so if it's close. Like in 2000, during mm-hmm. the great Florida recount, mm-hmm. heaven help us. Florida is getting ready. I was mm-hmm. just there. They've got their observers. Mm-hmm. They're lawyering up. They're sending people down from Washington just in case. I don't think it will come to that. But
people in politics, when you say the 36 days, they know what you're talking
exactly.
about, the 36 days before the Bush-Gore race was decided.
But what I was going to say with Trump is he appears to be, by really doubling down on his support among his base supporters, mm-hmm. we could be seeing him set up for his post-election life in which it's possible he continues in some kind of alternative mm-hmm. political movement, mm-hmm. sort of an American UKIP, like the UK Independence mm-hmm. Party. He's had Nigel Farage mm-hmm. was coaching him for his last debate. There's the talk mm-hmm. of a possible media company. Mm-hmm. So who knows? We haven't seen the last of Trump.
Well, let's see if we agree with this, that the election is not over yet.
I definitely agree with that.
Okay. Well, there's more to come. in this election, and but that's all the time we have right now. Joining us today were Linda Fellman, Washington Bureau Chief of the Christian Science Monitor, and Hillary Krieger, Enterprise Editor for CNN Politics Digital. This program was produced by Anya Zalewski. Our engineers were Wagner Roberts and Linus Rimkus. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Thanks for listening.